You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God, as you're seated, open your Bible at Galatians chapter 3. Now, last time we were together, we began having a look at the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Now, why is this important? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Everybody say faith in. So it's faith in Christ Jesus, the anointed one Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now just for time's sake, I don't want to spend too much time on the scripture. Usually, we've looked at it many times before, and these are things that I trust we always know, but I always got to be aware there's someone that may not have heard it before. When he says there's neither male nor female, you do understand that in your human body, your body is a vehicle that you live in. That body has a specific gender the way God created it, either male or female. But in the realm of the spirit, when you step out your body, you will be spirit as God created you. And in that realm of the spirit, when you talk about sons of God, you're talking about a position, being born of God. You wouldn't be wrong if you said daughter of God as well, if you're using a gender to it. But that's why I said you are all sons of God, then goes down to say there's neither male nor female, talking about the natural. So this truth is true no matter where you are, no matter what gender you are, no matter what you've been born into. Some people are born into a form of slavery, but that doesn't mean they can't have freedom in Christ. And whether you can see slave or free, Jew nor Greek, it doesn't matter what your body's DNA is. It doesn't matter the level of melatonin you have or which region you were born in or what your heritage may be, your ancestors. In other words, race has nothing to do with this. It's that in Christ, all have freedom to be born again. And when you're born again, you have all the rights and privileges that any other person has in Christ. Can we give Jesus praise for that? Hallelujah. So verse 29, if you are Christ, and this is what I want to draw our attention to now. If you are Christ, say that's me, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, why would he emphasize that if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed? Because obviously in Christ, he is our Savior. God is our Father. That is our heritage. That's our inheritance. But something else happens through the line of Abraham that we could be born again because God chose to move through Abraham and then Isaac, Jacob became Israel. And then obviously the 12 tribes, of which one was the tribe of Judah, that became the Jewish people, so to speak. And Jesus was born of that tribe. And so He is our Lord and Savior. So obviously in the realm of the Spirit, He's God, but there's also a natural heritage that came through the line from Abraham. Why does Paul refer to that here? And you can see when he starts in Galatians chapter 3, we already had a look at this last week, so I don't want to spend too much time going over previous verses, but let's go down to verse 5. "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you," say the Holy Spirit is constantly working miracles amongst us. How does he do it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, in context, we've already studied this. Obviously, the answer there is faith because that's what he's looking at. But the point I want to highlight here, it's the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Now, when we study faith, we always have to be aware, and this is something I'll constantly be saying so that it's in the forefront of our thinking, is like any word used in any language, really, but obviously we're using English today, words have different definitions. And how many times have you had a conversation with someone and it lands up almost like an argument, and then you say, hang on, let's all just calm down, and then you say, what are you actually saying? And they will say, and you go, but that's not what I thought you were saying. Has that ever happened? It's because there's a different in terminology. So for one person, I can say a word and someone gets highly offended, and another person says, but there's no offense in that word. It depends on your understanding of a word. And so the same way when we say faith, if you say faith, you ask people what faith is. There's different levels of faith. As I've already said, there's the natural human level of faith. You had faith in that chair when you sat in it. How do I know that? Because you didn't double check it. You didn't make sure it's strong. You didn't make sure that it's not broken. You didn't make sure all the screws are in place. You just came in and sat down. There's an element of faith involved there. And that's obviously not the faith we're talking about. And then there's another concept of faith is interchangeable with belief. What faith are you? You could be asking, what religion are you? And that's a form of faith. So obviously when you say you have faith in God, there could be that concept of, well, that's who I serve. But there's also an aspect of faith that we are having a look at here, which is the application of faith. It's a faith that can be applied, a faith that you can live by. The just shall live by faith. It's not just live by a belief system. There's a faith that you live by. And so when he says here, notice it says by the hearing of faith. Just that statement alone shows you that this faith is something else than a belief. It's not just the hearing of a belief system or the hearing of God or the hearing of even just the word of God. There's a hearing of faith. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What I'm saying is just by, you just read anything or believe anything or trust anything, that's not what he's talking about, because the hearing of faith, because you hear sound, don't you? That's what hearing means. So the hearing of sound, there's obviously a hearing of faith. There's a sound aspect to faith that you can hear. That's the point I'm getting across. Now, as you carry on, you'll notice he says here in verse 6, just as Abraham. So now we're talking about the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, that accounted to him for righteousness. I want you to remember those two terms. One is the counted. He accounted it to him. Something happened that he was given something on credit, which is righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And then he carries on down to verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So Abraham believed God, and God obviously released the blessing. We saw that in Genesis chapter 12. And then that blessing means that God is working with Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you that you will be a blessing to nations. And so in that blessing, as Israel grew, and then eventually God gives them the law, and in that law he establishes the blessings of the blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 26. There are many results of that blessing. And so those results of the blessing obviously are available to us. But notice it says those who are of faith. Everybody say those who are of faith. And then you go down to verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 11, that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall. Now, that statement occurs four times in the Word of God. And the Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a truth be established. So you understand that if you and I are going to live, it's like I sometimes say, I don't know how people live without knowing God, without the Word of God. And then my next statement is always, well, actually, they're not living. I know they're breathing air, but what is life? Life is in the presence of God. Life is knowing God. Life is walking with God, and that is done by faith. It's done by faith. So if the just shall live by faith, you could say your body lives by nutrition and oxygen. Isn't that right? You cut off nutrition, you cut off oxygen, this body's going to die. So it cannot, you're going to have nutrition on a regular basis. You're going to have to breathe on a very regular basis. There's no time to take off. There's no, you know, you can't say, I'm so tired, I just can't even breathe anymore. You know that tired is so tired you can't breathe anymore, ends in death. Isn't that right? So if you're going to live by oxygen, your body, your spirit lives by faith. Faith is as important as oxygen is to your physical body. Faith to your spirit man. And that's what we're talking about, that concept of faith. What are we talking about? This faith that God has given us that literally sustains our spirit as much as oxygen sustains our physical body. Hallelujah. Have a look at Romans chapter 10. Again, for time's sake, let's go down to verse 6. Now, when I say that time's sake, those that may be here for your first time today, I did start with part one. I think it was 2 weeks ago. You can get that previous message on podcast. And as I've always said, make sure you do go listen to the messages again. No ways are we all going to get what we're saying right here in this session. We need to go over these things regularly. Verse 6, the righteousness of faith. Everybody say righteousness of faith. Remember, we're talking about Abraham was accounted righteous for a reason. Now, here we see this word again. The righteousness of faith speaks. Say that. Faith speaks.
Faith speaks.
Say it again.
Faith speaks.
How do I know if someone's in faith? I'm going to hear it. Faith speaks. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Speak. Say this. When I believe something, it'll come out of my mouth. And what are we going to speak? Well, if you have a look at Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. In other words, you produce what's in your heart. Well, what is that? How does that come out? Verse keeps reading, says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. Now, how do you know that you and I live fairly filtered lives? All of us. In certain areas, you're speaking. How many of you have ever, while you're talking, you've got something you'd like to say, but you can't dial it down and say, I can't really say that in this person's presence. Come on, be honest. How do you know? Very seldom do we speak our entire mind exactly as we think. That's just human nature. Now, but how do you notice when pressure hits, the filters come off? I've said it before. It's like, you know, someone's hitting a nail into the wall, and they're hitting that nail, and then they miss the steel nail, and they hit their flesh nail. And they hit that thumb real hard, we find out very quickly what's in the heart. You know, someone, I didn't mean to say that. Well, where do you think that came from? It wasn't just in there. It's been put in there somewhere. Are you with me? So what happens is when pressure hits, it's all very easy when everything's going smooth, everything's wonderful, and everything's great. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, God's so good, wonderful. What happens when the pressure hits? All of a sudden, things come unstuck. Something goes wrong. What's the next thing that comes out of our mouth? When we get bad news, what's the next thing that comes out of our mouth? What's our next response? Because under pressure, we tend to drop the filters. And out of the abundance of the heart, whatever's in there the most is what's going to come out. And you can usually pick that up in a conversation. Someone's talking, the more you understand the Word of God, the more you become trained to the Word, the way faith speaks, people will say certain things, but you can just hear certain lines that come through, and you know what they've been meditating on. You know what they've been watching. You know what they've been listening to. Because that's how I make sure I keep the right things in my heart, is that you keep it down in abundance, in abundance. If I start, I monitor myself the whole time. If something comes out of my mouth and I don't like, I should never have said that, that's not the right way to respond, I don't get offended because the person's angry with me now because I said that. I go say, hang on, I'm going back to the word. I need to flush that thing out. And the only way you can flush it out is by putting more of the right in. You get the right word, meditate the right word, get that word into you in abundance. Listen to the right things over and over and over to flush that junk out of you. Say amen. And so, say this, faith does speak. Now, how does it speak? So, first of all, it says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ from above, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Basically, what that is saying is, I don't need natural manifestations to prove to me the word of God is true. Now, God does use signs and wonders to confirm his word, but that's usually for someone who's skeptical and unbeliever. But once you're in a place of believing Christ, you don't need to. I don't need another miracle to keep convincing me God is true. I don't need to see an angel to say, now, God, please, if I'm doubting you today, can you just show me an angel? Faith doesn't do that. That's what he's saying here. Faith is not looking for the physical manifestation, but what does it say? So say this, faith does speak. What does it say? It says the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, what's in your heart is going to be in your mouth. Now, what word is that? And he says that is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. Everybody say word of faith. Now, unfortunately, that has been captured, so to speak, and used in a very negative way. Sometimes people will say, you know, they're word of faith people. Those, you know, that like it's a bad doctrine, it's a wrong doctrine. Family of God, word of faith is in your Bible. But you know, you can take terminology and use it to label you. That doesn't make you right just because you use the label. So we have to look at it from the scriptural perspective. What does Paul mean here? Because he did preach the word of faith. So everybody says, are you the word of faith people? Well, you have to put Paul there because he did teach it. But you have to say, hang on, what is it that's taught? So you don't determine someone by their label. Even if someone says, I'm this type of Christian or that type, they might say they're Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. I can't say I assume I know if you're saved or not because you go to that congregation. And you know, there are people, I'm not going to call any names right now about any, but there may be a denomination that we write on that doctrine is totally wrong, but doesn't mean someone that's attending there is in error. They may love Jesus, born again, they're just ignorant to what they're studying at the moment. That doesn't mean they're going to hell now because they happen to be listening to that person. So when you hear certain people, certain names are named, or this person's in wrong, or this is a heretic, or whatever like that, be very careful. You don't just write everything off now because that person teaches word of faith. Come back. What are we talking about when we say word of faith? Because yeah, Paul says, this is what we preach, the word of faith, which is what? And he carries on. He tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So, next time someone has a problem with word of faith, ask them, do you believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Yes. Have you confessed him as your Lord? Yes. That means you've used the word of faith. You've believed and confessed. Say amen. Amen. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So the heart is what positions you. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if you use that verse in its purest form there, if the heart one believes unto righteousness, full stop. If the mouth hasn't confessed yet, there's not yet salvation. So just believing had to be activated. And the activation was done in the confession. So what was in the heart had to first be there. Now, how did it get into the heart? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I had to hear the word first. So now I heard the word. Now I believe it. Now, how does that word activate? How many of you know there are atheists that have heard Jesus has died for them and risen from the dead? Isn't that right? Now, they may even believe that's possible. But if they haven't confessed it, then that salvation won't manifest. So you have to take the next step of confession. So with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Now that word saved we had a look at in the Greek concordance, in the Strong's Concordance, number 4982 is the word sozo. S-O-Z-O. Now, sozo means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save one from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, that is one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue. How many recognize that before we were saved, we were in total destruction? I don't care how healthy a person might be, how rich they might be, how well off they seem, if they died without Jesus, they would have landed up in hell. There's no more destruction worse than that. So yes, the moment you give your life to Jesus, you are saved out of that destruction into eternal life. But have you noticed that when you gave your life to Jesus, you woke up the next morning, you still had the same bank account, the same body, the same mind, still said things that you knew Christians shouldn't say that. Isn't that right? You did things and Christians shouldn't do that. Isn't that right? So I needed saving. Sozo is an ongoing word. In other words, you saved, you're born again, your place in heaven is secured, not based on your works. It's by faith, it's by grace, it's a gift of God. No man can earn that. So that's settled. But now we need saving in different areas. We needed healing, we needed deliverance, we need protection, we need provision. So that sozo is an ongoing process. Can you see that? Thank God for that. So your salvation, your eternal salvation, your born again experience is in a moment, but now we still, that rest of the word sozo, everything else in there, the healing, preservation, protection, and all those different areas that is available through sozo comes exactly the same way. Is that we're going to hear it, and then upon hearing it, you speak it. So yeah, you're not born again. Yeah, you're dying. If you died, you would have gone to hell. You hear a man of God say that Jesus died for you, rose from the dead, paid for your sin in full. You believed it. Now, if you believe that, say this. And you said it. What happened? You were born again. Now you hear. At the same time, Jesus bore every sickness, every disease. He took the pain and sorrow, and by his stripes, you have been healed. What happens? You believe it, right? But now, how did you activate your salvation? Speaking it. Now you're going to say, I believe what the Word of God says. By his stripes, I have been healed. Now, with that in mind, how have you noticed that even after saying it, you might still feel symptoms? Isn't that right? All of a sudden, your body's still sore, but I just spoke, okay? When you first got saved, you gave your life to Jesus. How long was it until you sinned again? Now, you probably don't remember, but some people maybe within 24 hours. Isn't that right? What's the first thing the devil did? Came and accused you. Oh, you gave your life to Jesus on Sunday? Was it that easy? And I know this because when, before we get to people to spiritual growth seminar, they can give their life to Jesus like three or four times. You have an altar call, they give their life to Jesus, there they go off, we get their names and everything, we pray for them, and then next Sunday, there they're in the altar call again. Why? Because they sinned that week. And the devil told them, you can't be saved. I sinned, I've got to get saved again. And then I've got to sin, I've got to get saved again. Until we get them to spiritual growth and we say, listen, your salvation's secure. You've given your life to Jesus, okay? Now, there are ongoing symptoms of a sinful flesh. Those are things we're going to overcome. So every time you sit and say, nah, in other words, you're going to be born again 6, 7, 8 times a day. Some of us maybe more. Every time you sin, oh, Jesus, I give you my life once. No, no. What do? You say, no, as a child of God, I'm born again. I renounce that sin. I confess that was wrong. I apologize to you, Father. I thank you. I am cleansed of unrighteousness. What are you doing? You're securing that faith of knowing you are born again. So the same way when you've received your healing, the moment you say, I believe I'm healed, that symptom shows up. It doesn't mean the prayer didn't work. Are you with me? So what happens is, you must remember, you are healed. You are healed. The body is still carrying symptoms. You are not your body. You are a spirit who lives in a body. So what am I doing? By saying, I believe I am healed. I'm coming in line with the Word of God. What happens? Just the same way, the more I address sin in my life, the more I'm accurate from a victory perspective, overcoming sin, you notice how your time of sinning gets longer and between sinning gets longer and longer. Isn't that right? There's more things that you catch before it happens. You're about to go, no, hang on. Why? Because you've practiced that confession. You've stayed consistent in your faith for salvation. So you become more and more holy as time goes on, if you're addressing it accurately. So the same way that your life came in line with your salvation, the same way by confessing that healing, your body will begin to adjust. Your body will begin to take on what you are saying. And that may come in different ways. It may be by the miraculous power of God. Many of us have got testimonies to miracles that even science can't explain. And other times it may be an adjustment in wisdom. It may be that you need to do more exercise. It may be that you need to change what you eat. You'll notice, I noticed when I started confessing healing every day, I get to a point where I reach for food and my spirit man goes, no, you just don't crave that anymore. You don't desire that anymore. Because if you're saying you're healed, you can't be eating that. Because that's what's actually causing the damage, the inflammation, the pain in the body. So it's not always necessarily going to be a great big miracle. It may be a process of healing. Remember, we've got gifts of miracles and gifts of healings. Healing is a process. Miracle is instantaneous. So both of those are in operation. But what I'm saying is, it's because you've been speaking. You've been saying what you've heard, what happens. Sozo is happening. All right. Now, come to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Remember, I asked you to highlight. Look at verse 22. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 22. It was a same chapter, Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Who are we talking about? So I wanted you to see this accounted. So we're going to see therefore. So therefore is there for a reason. So today we're going to read what therefore is for. There. Come back to verse 13. The promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Everybody say righteousness of faith. Now remember, the righteousness of faith speaks. Keep that in mind. Say that. The righteousness of faith speaks. So the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. And we've already read, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. So you're included in this chapter here. How was it done? Through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect. In other words, if you could work your way into the promises, you wouldn't need faith. So obviously what we are receiving cannot be worked for. Therefore, it has to be received by faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be made sure to all the seed. Now, you are of the seed of Abraham. So this is you. So God wanted to set up a system, a method to make sure that the promises were secured for you. Now, if we had to rely on working the law to get the promise, we would all be excluded. So God wanted to make sure that you were able to receive and walk in the promises that He wants His children to walk in. So how did He do that? He made sure that He would take it from the works of the law and that it could be accessed by faith. That's what this is saying. Because of faith, it was made secure for you. Say, thank God, He has made sure that the promise is secured for me. Now keep reading. The promise of faith might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, God said to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, in the presence of him who Abraham believed, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So what's he saying here is that both Abraham and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, and neither one of them could have children. And yet God told him, you would be the father of many nations. And yeah, in this verse, it's saying he became that father. Now, how did that happen? Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. What was? Strengthened how? In faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. He was fully convinced that if God had promised it, God was able to perform it. And because of that, it was accounted to him for righteousness. God said, if you can reach that level of belief, that you are so convinced that what I've said to you will happen, and you're convinced I'm able to do it, and he didn't wave off that. Bible says he stayed consistent in it. That was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the faith of Abraham. So let's have a look at what he said here. Now notice verse 17. God says, the word's telling us that God had said, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, if before our first children came along, let me see, how many of you are married here without children? Anybody married without children yet? So if you went to speak to that couple, would you say they're a father and mother in the natural? No, not unless they're speaking by faith. Because having children is what makes you a father. Isn't that right? So if God says to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations, that means he must have sons and daughters. Many, many nations. So Where are they? See, God is not looking at the children he has on the earth. God has seen the future. And he knows what he's going to be doing through Abraham. But he didn't say, I will make you. I will make you a father. Just hang in there. It's coming. One day you will be. He says to him already, I call you today. I'm calling you a father of many nations. And in that, that's what Abraham heard. He heard, God says, I am a father of many nations. So in the presence, notice it says there, God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Say that. God calls things that do not exist as though they do. You can say that as well. All right. So God calls things that do not exist as if though they do. That's why when it says, when in the beginning God said, let there be light, that's how it's translated into the English, but you go read the original root of the way it's written in the Hebrew, it says, God said, light be. Notice he addressed light before it was, and he said, be. So there wasn't any light, but he called it light. And by calling it light, what happened? Light manifested. And that's how God has always created. In other words, God already knows what he wants. We don't see it in this natural realm. But for it to be in the natural realm, God would call it and it will manifest. God says what he wants and then he calls it. Now, how many of you understand that if God told Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations, it's qualified. According to God now, Abraham is the father of many nations. Now, imagine he went and told Sarah, God's told us, I'm the father of many nations. And she says, that's wonderful. Let's watch more TV. And all they did is watch TV every night. And never did anything about it. How many know there's no children coming? Faith without works is dead. There is an action that has to happen. So that's just in the natural. So just because God had said it doesn't mean it's just going to happen anyway. So even if Abraham never ever sleeps with Sarah, God says, well, I'm going to do it anyway. That's not going to happen. It's going to take Abraham's cooperation. Say amen. Amen. So how's he going to cooperate? Because this is what the word is teaching us, that Abraham obviously went further than just saying, I believe. Oh, hallelujah, glory. Doesn't matter if Sarah never wants to do anything. I just believe I'm the father of any nation. Hallelujah. No, he had to put something into action. And so what he did, obviously, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. I don't have time to teach that. The word means, I am the father of many nations. So obviously, from that day on, if he went and told everybody, someone says, hello, Abram. And he says, hang on. I just let the need you know. My name now is Abraham. That's what you're hearing in the English. But if he was speaking Hebrew, they would have said, hello, great father. And he says, hang on. I need to let you know. I am now the father of many nations. That's what he was saying. Every time he said that, every time he had to correct someone on his name, he was saying, I am the father of many nations. If he had to go fill in a form at the bank, he would write there, I'm the father of the many nations. Next question, how many children do you have? Zero. But you just said you're the father of many nations. Yes, I am. Why? How can you say that? God said it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what's happening? He is now taking on what God said, and he's saying what God said. You got to get this. Faith isn't plucking something out the air and saying, hallelujah, I now have. No, has God said it? Remember Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Not faith comes by your wild imagination. Faith comes by hearing what God said on it. Now, there may be something you're believing for. You really believe there's an unction, but it might not be mentioned. How do you know it doesn't say that, when we were believing for this building, nowhere does it say, and God wrote in His Bible that I have given the Bay Christian Family Church Section 3 of GAN Center. That had to come by the unction, right? I believed, I was led here, had the Spirit of God released. Yes, this is your building. All of that was happening, but now I needed faith for it. So what do? I go to the Word and I ask God to reveal to me from His Word. And I look up scriptures. I have to read and find out what He says on the point of, if He's blessed me with every blessing, He's provided every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that He is building His church and He supplies what He calls for, He gives for. Are you with me? So I get scriptures and I have to build my faith based on the provision of God, based on God leading me. I need wisdom to be able to make these decisions. So I'm hearing from the Word what I need to do next. And God had spoken, and as a result of having spoken, God calls things that do not exist as though they do. Obviously, the spirit of faith is having heard that Word, believing that Word, He will also speak that Word. Don't lose the point now. God calls things that do not exist as though they do. Abraham, believing, the spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. He says He's the father of many nations. What's He doing? Calling things that do not exist as though they do. Oh, hang on, you're not God. Just hang in there, tiger. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. That word imitator in the original Greek is mimetes. It means to mimic. Now, you're not God. I don't mean that in an accusatory way. I'm pointing at me too. We are not God. There's only one who can put a universe into power and action. Amen. It's not like I say, God, step aside. Let me show you. I'm going to make a universe as well. No, He's the sovereign God. He's the God of power. He's the one that creates. He's the one, all things come through Him. All things are made through Jesus and upheld by His Word. Are you with me? So we will never be God. We aren't God. We are born of His Spirit. We are sons of God. But that sovereign power, it only belongs to Him. Can I get a bigger amen?
Amen.
Now, He decrees something to be. What happens is, because He's saying it, I'm going to say it as well. Now I'm going to imitate Him. And He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. How many of you know you and I can't heal anybody? He's the healer. You and I can't create something out of nothing. He's the only one that can do that. But if He's told me He's going to do it, and I don't do anything about it, it's still not going to happen. Are you with me? It's like if I tell you, here's a whole bag of seed, and I'm calling this field full of corn. And you say, well, thank you. And you hold the seed because you want to actually eat it, and you're just waiting for your corn to come in. Now, how many realize you're going to have to take that seed and go and plant it? You with me? So the same way God will tell you, I have provided your need in this area. Well, hallelujah. Now sit at home. God provides every need. God provides it. No, no. The Bible tells us if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. Get out there. Get to work. Start putting your hand to the plow. There's something for us to do. God blesses in the motion. God blesses in the motion. So I have to take what He's saying, come into alignment with what He has said. And then because He said it, I now say it. That is the spirit of faith. That's what the word of faith means. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. I've heard the word. That word has given faith. And faith means I believe what He said. Therefore, I'm going to say what He said. And when you say what He says, and then your life starts to line up with that. All of a sudden, you'll have wisdom for this area. You'll meet this person. He'll lead you to go and do this or open that business or whatever. He will show you things that you need to do. And in the process, what He has said begins to manifest. Someone say, amen.
Amen.
Now notice, when he says, be imitators of God as dear children, look at the next verse, verse 2, and walk in love. And walk in love. Now why would he put that there? Well, obviously God is love, and that's part of the imitation. But if you have a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. He's talking about religious ritual, yeah? Religious ritual doesn't earn you right standing with God, but faith working through love. Faith working. Faith works. I said faith works. I said faith works. So it's not just a belief system. Not just saying, I believe in Jesus. Faith has action to it. Faith works, but notice, it works how? There's a power, there's a force that makes it work, and that is love. Your body works through oxygen and nutrition. Get the right nutrition, get the right amount of sleep, oxygen, your body will function the way it's designed. For faith to work accurately, it has to work through love. I can't be fighting and arguing with this person and trying to work faith over you. I've had it many times. I won't go into all the testimonies today for time's sake, but you know, if you've been here long enough, Janine and I have faced so many challenges. And I can tell you, some of them were close to death. And I don't do that to give death any glory, because I know that that wasn't going to happen. That was not our portion. It was not the time. It was not any. Are you with me? But I know that in those moments when you are staring death in the face and the only thing left is faith, the only thing left is the Word of God, don't come and talk to me about the Word of faith, because that's the only thing that sustains me at that moment, is knowing I can lift my hand and say, God, you said. And I cannot tell you how many times in that moment people will come into my life and want to skinner about this and gossip about that one and accuse the doctors and accuse this person, accuse that one. And I have to shut that down and say, I'm not even going, I will not participate. But, no buts, I am working. I am working faith here. Are you there? I can't have anything contaminate that. You getting this? I have to walk in love. I have to walk in forgiveness. I don't even have the option of getting angry anytime, because every day the just shall live by faith. So if you're going to live by faith, then you have to live by love. Now, God calling things which do not exist as though they did, then obviously in His presence, I would have to do the same thing. Why is that? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. So if all I'm doing is living my life by what I see, and you know, whatever happens, happens, and I just live my life loose, you know, que sera, whatever will be, I'm not really living by faith. See, I don't have to believe for this pulpit. I hope the pulpit's there today. No, I can see it. That doesn't need faith. So faith is going to work with the things you don't see. So if God says, by His stripes you have been healed, listen to the terminology. That's not the same as me saying, well, then praise God, I'm not sick. Okay, that went over someone's head. Listen again. If I say, by Jesus' stripes, the word says, by Jesus' stripes, you have been healed, does not equate to me saying, I'm not sick. Why? God calls things that do not exist as though they do. He doesn't call things that do exist as though they don't. Got to get a hold of this. So I'm not denying the symptoms in my body. So what do you do when you go to a doctor? You go to a doctor and say, I've got to come see you. And the doctor says, what's the matter? Well, I'm not sick. Well, then why are you here? Are you with me? what I do is I will address, I don't want to deny the word of God. The word says, I am healed. Okay, I am healed. So if I am healed, that's the only thing I want coming out of my mouth. So for me to say, I am healed and I have this pain, that doesn't go together. Are you with me? So what I will say is, I have been experiencing symptoms. This is what I have been feeling. I'll put that in the past, even if it's the last second. Or you say, when last did you feel it? About a second ago. Are you with me? And now? Oh, no, just about a second ago. So are you feeling it now? About a second ago. You won't get me off of that. I've had doctors work hard to get me to say something. I've had accountants, I've had debt collectors, I've had a lot of people try to get me, pin me down. It's not going to happen. And I said, well, that's just being pedantic. Yeah, this pedantic person, by faith, has seen miracles happen, debts paid off, God looking, God protecting, God providing. Why? Because I will not lie against God. If He says I'm healed, that's all you're going to get out of my mouth. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what I want to see. I want to see that manifesting in my life. And so it's the calling the things that do not exist as though they do. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, who should I be pleasing? The bank manager or God? Who would you rather please? Would you rather please the doctor or God? Would you rather please the skeptic or God? How are you going to please God? Verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is
impossible.
It is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what is faith? Having believed, I speak. God, you said it, I'm going to say it. In closing, this is just going to open up for next week. Notice in verse 20, it says he did not waver. It did not waver. How many of you have ever had a promise from God? And somewhere in your Christian life, you began to doubt. Let me see. Every hand goes up. Look at this from the Living Bible. This is Abraham never wavered. So Abraham heard God's promise. And it says in verse 20, Abraham never doubted. Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger. He praised God for this blessing ever before it happened. I read that one day. Abraham never doubted. I thought, what manner of man is this? I went to my area pastor at the time. I said, Pastor Joe, I didn't tell him about the verse. I just said, have you ever doubted? He says, answered, well, yeah, we all doubt somewhere. Showed him, Abraham never doubted. And I started asking leaders, people that I knew were strong. I said, have you ever doubted? I never once had someone say no. And I said, Abraham never doubted. And it started bothering me eventually, because that's in the Bible. And he said, we have the same faith. I can be of the same faith. How is it possible that this man never doubted? Now, you know how I work. I don't question man. I go to God. I say, Father, yeah, the word says he never doubted. Now, that is a translation, but that's what Abraham never wavered. Are you with me? Waver means you going off track. So never wavered, never doubted. So I said, yeah, it says Abraham never doubted. How's that possible? It must be, because he didn't. How did he do that? Because he says that we can be of the same faith. And God revealed it to me. How many you want to know? How many you never want to doubt again? That'll be next week. You know that. Amen. Come on. Do you get something today?
Yes.
Just give Jesus praise. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you next week how you will never doubt again. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Just raise your hand to the Lord and say this. I am a believer, not a doubter. As a hearer of God's word, I'm also a doer. Today, I align my life from today on to make sure that what God has said, I believe, therefore I speak. I only say what God says. I keep my life in line with what His word says. As I live by His word, I live by faith. I forgive and I live by love. That love is the power to my faith. And having believed, I speak. I speak what God has said, calling things that are not as if though they are. That's how I speak, imitating my God to His glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.